Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church, and we're so glad that you've joined us in this study of the book of Joshua. Our prayer is that this study equips you to live the victorious life that is offered in Christ. God bless.
This is Day 5 of Joshua, Volume 2, Living the Victorious Life. Our title is Enemies Silenced. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 reads, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Our text today is Joshua 10, verses 16 through 21. "These five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Akkadah. And it was told to Joshua, 'The five kings have been found, hidden in the cave at Makkedah.'" These five kings fled and hid themselves at the cave at Makkedah. And it was told to Joshua, "The five kings have been found, hidden in the cave at Makkedah." And Joshua said, "Roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. But do not stay there yourselves. Pursue your enemies. Attack their rear guard. Do not let them enter their cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hand." When Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished striking them with a great blow until they were wiped out, and when the remnant that had remained of them had entered into the fortified cities, then all the people returned safe to Joshua in the camp at Makkedah. Not a man moved his tongue against any of the people of Israel. After multiple miracles of God, the five kings ran and hid in a cave at a place called Makkedah. About 15 to 20 miles south of Gibeon was Makkedah. It was located in an area which had a number of caves. One of these caves became very prominent in the campaign Joshua waged in defense of Gibeon. The five kings who headed up the nations that attacked Gibeon made the cave prominent. The name Makkedah means the place of the shepherd, or the herdsman's place. The five kings tried to attack Gibeon so that they could have a better chance of corralling Israel. It's ironic that the children of the chief shepherd would overpower them and run them back into the herdsman's place. This place, meant to protect a flock from the weather, would be the last place these men would live on earth. John G. Butler's commentary shows that this action by the kings revealed their lack of character and led to their downfall. When the war turned sour for the five kings of the Amorites, they fled for their safety from the pursuing Israelites. Desperate to escape, they fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. This action by the kings did not represent good character. Unlike gallant military leaders one reads about in history, they deserted their troops and tried to save their own lives instead. None of them had the courage to stay in battle to lead and rally their troops. They were the kind that did not lead by example. They were more concerned about their own welfare than that of their armies. This is always the case with corrupt leaders. They sent forth armies to battle to enhance a ruler's political situation rather than for noble purposes. The lives of the soldiers meant nothing to these rulers. All that mattered was that the ruler's position, possessions, and prestige be enhanced. Therefore, they will head for the caves every time when the going gets rough. The hiding in the cave by the kings was soon discovered by the Israelites. The kings botched their hiding like they failed their military adventure. Therefore, it was told Joshua, saying, "The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah." The finding of the kings illustrates the truth that you cannot hide from God's judgment upon sin. The five kings had instigated an unjust war and thought they could hide from their evil consequences. But you cannot hide forever from the evil consequences of your sinful ways. Sooner or later, they will catch up to you. The criminal will one day be found out. The sins of the flesh will one day take your health. The continual self-centered lifestyle will one day leave you friendless, and the rejection of God and His Word will eventually leave you trembling and helpless before His throne. We have our caves of lies, clever arguments, and hard hearts, but they are not enough to keep us from divine judgment. When Joshua was told about the location of the kings, he did a smart thing. Joshua said, "Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them." Joshua could not deal with the kings at that moment, so he simply had the caves made into a prison with strong fortification. The large stones would doubtless keep the kings in the cave, but Joshua added the guard to make sure they stayed in the cave. As a wise general, Joshua was taking no chances at losing the five kings. They were a prize catch, and he would see to it that the catch did not get away. The fortifying of the cave meant that what the five kings intended to be a place of safety turned out to be a prison. What they thought would be their escape from the hands of the Israelites turned out to be their capture by the Israelites. What they trusted in as a refuge became their ruin. How often this happens to mankind when they trust in things other than God and His Word. They one day discover that it leads to their destruction. They discover that the pursuit of worldly pleasure leads to troubles more than thrills, that pampering the lusts of the flesh dissipates the flesh more than delights it, that clever philosophies which leave out God do not free the mind but foul up the mind, and that the treasures of this world do not make one wealthy where it counts, but only makes one wretched. Joshua 10:21 closes out this section with this statement: "Not a man moved his tongue against any of the people of Israel." When Israel returned to their home base in Gilgal, nobody was running their mouths anymore about defeating Israel. God had silenced his enemies. Remember, when the world comes in force against you, trust in God's power to silence your enemies too. Consider these questions. How hard is it for you to remain silent when you are ridiculed for your faith? Explain your answer. What spiritual disciplines can you develop to help you trust that God can silence your enemies? How does Psalm 138, 7-8 encourage you, considering what happens in Joshua 10? It reads, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." Pray with me. Lord, we do thank you that you do not forsake the work of your hand. Thank you for silencing our enemies. And Lord, thank you for the way that you are present in our lives every day. In Christ's name, amen.